Hello and welcome again to the Dancing with Wisdom podcast with me, Sunil Raheja. We're continuing our conversations with Terry Virgo. Terry, great to have you again.
Good to see you again.
And we've called this series of podcasts, Not Your Average Great-Grandfather. Okay, Terry is 85 years old. I hope you don't mind me saying your age, Terry. And he's the father of 5 children, 22 grandchildren, 1 great-granddaughter, and another great-grandchild on the way. In the last podcast, we talked about your life story from this book, No Well-Worn Paths, Restoring the Church to Christ's Original Intention. We only touched one part of some certain aspects of it, because it's a great book, fascinating about your life story there, and just learning how you came to faith, how you struggled with backsliding, then struggled with legalism, discovered grace, and how that's transformed your life. You know, you said you didn't understand grace for about 16 years. We're going to be focusing on this podcast on this other book you've written, God's Lavish Grace. It's a fantastic book, and it's based on a series of talks you've given, which are on your website, which we'll put a link to in the show notes that go with this podcast, that really unpacks why grace is just so wonderful and why it's so amazing. The title of the talks you gave were Freed from Condemnation, Free from Sin's Power, and Freed from Dead Works. And as I said, you know, I've listened to talks, I've read the book, and I highly recommend it. And in God's Lavish Grace, you say God's grace defies our comprehension. His kindness is unfathomable. His covenant love unbreakable. So, Terry, as we start to unpack God's lavish grace, can you start explaining to us what exactly is grace? Because it's a very hard thing to explain, because as you yourself said, you've been a disciple of Jesus for 16 years and you didn't understand it. And you didn't even understand it, you said to me earlier on, even intellectually, let alone experientially.
Yeah, I think that when I first heard the gospel, you understand your sins are forgiven, you're accepted. You're saved, you're going to heaven one day. It's a wonderful message. But I think that what's interesting, Paul writes to the Galatians and he says to them, you who've been justified by law have fallen from grace. And why does he write that? What happens in Galatia is that Paul goes to the town, preaches the gospel. A number of people are saved, full with the Holy Spirit. He's got a glorious church, all sorts of things happening there. And then as an apostle moves on. When he moves on, the Bible shows us the Judaizers moved in behind him.
So people from Jewish background who were saying that you need to follow the Jewish laws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're Christians.
To be a true Christian.
They're Christians. They're from a Jewish background. And to be honest, they're confusing old and new covenants. So they come in to the church that Paul has started, and they say effectively, hey, welcome. We're so glad you found our Messiah. Our Bible's told us that the Gentiles would believe. Hey, it's wonderful. You've accepted our Messiah. You've found salvation. Welcome.
Yeah.
But there's some things you need to know. We've known him for centuries.
Yeah.
So there's some certain foods you shouldn't eat.
Yes.
But you do keep the feast days and you must keep the Sabbath. And really, you should be circumcised.
Yes.
So why? Well, to make sure all is well. You know, we know Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. But to make sure that you're okay, there are these things you need to do. And so you're immediately confused. Where am I? Am I okay or am I not okay?
And now you have this sense of condemnation that, you know, as you said, am I doing enough?
Quite.
And obviously we're not living, as it were, in the 21st century with that sense of following Jewish rituals or regulations. But we do, and you say this in God's Lavish Grace, often we're brought face to face with the fact that we are hardly reigning in life. This is what we're talking about. Too often we feel that we are losers rather than winners, overruled rather than reigning, at the mercy of depression and dejection and the sense of unworthiness before God. In fact, let's face it, we feel condemned.
Well, I think what happens is that we don't get the same that the Galatians heard. You know, you must do these things. But when I was saved, I suddenly know my sins have been forgiven. I'm right with God. This is amazing. And then I'm told, you must read your Bible every day. Okay.
Yeah. It's a good thing to read the Bible.
Oh, sure. Everyone absolutely. Else thinks you shouldn't. Oh, absolutely. You must read your Bible every day. You must pray every day. Okay, got it. And then things like this. Do you have to do your hair that way? Okay. And really, should you wear those sort of things? Exactly. And so it's not Jewish law, but there's these certain kind of Christian levels of things you're expected to do to make sure all is well.
Yes.
And you begin to pick up quite early on, there are things you need to do to make sure that you're okay.
Yes.
And that you're from the very beginning, instead of feeling, wow, I've been set free, you can feel, well, I've just picked up all these duties that I have to perform. Yeah. And instead of saying, hey, you can pray, you can talk to God, you must pray. And you can read this Bible. It's full of truth. You must read your Bible. And so instead of being introduced to
some distinction between discipline and legalism.
Quite.
Because, I suppose in discipline, I choose to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in legalism, I have to do so. If I don't do this, if I don't read my Bible, and you know, I've certainly struggled with that as well, is I've got to read my Bible. I've got to, and if I haven't done these things, then God is somehow frowning on me. He's upset with me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now that is often picked up early, and it can affect the whole culture of a church. That is our culture. This feeling of falling short because we haven't necessarily done all these things instead of celebrating because Jesus had taken away all my guilt.
So explain. Let's go back to it. So explain grace to us a bit more then.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fully expressing what Paul is so furious with the Galatians because he said, having started with this, you've added all these things and you're missing the point. You've fallen from grace. Mm. Now, it's interesting that phrase, fallen from grace. It's now used in the secular world.
Yeah.
It's like if a guy doesn't play in the first team at soccer, he's fallen from grace. You'll find it in the newspapers, they're fallen from grace. And it's like, you missed it.
Yes.
Whereas then Paul is saying, you've fallen from grace into law. That's
right.
And he invented the phrase. Yeah. He said, if you do these things, you've fallen from grace. What have they fallen into? Keeping the rules.
Keeping the rules.
So the rules become the dominant thing. And we forget that the Bible says Satan, whose name means the accuser, he accuses us day and night. That's what it says in the Bible.
Yes.
So that's his chief weapon.
Yes.
Satan's chief
weapon. And accuses us in the sense of that you're not doing good enough.
Right.
And we all know we could do better. No matter how much I pray, how much have I read my Bible, however good or kind I try to be, I could always be better. I could always do more. Yeah.
Well, and Satan wants to use that to drive a wedge between you and your relationship with God. Because he's saying you're not good enough, you're useless, you're hopeless, you don't even understand the Bible, you don't pray hard enough. And so we tend to think, if I don't go downtown, I won't meet Satan. But Satan comes to us with accusation. Mm. And we don't understand it's coming from Satan. We feel, I'm reflecting, I'm not very good. And so we lose fellowship with God, feeling condemned. And so to understand what Paul is saying in Romans 6, 7, 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's being in Christ that frees us from condemnation, not reading the Bible more or praying harder. Although those things are massively valuable, and I love reading the Bible, but when I saw grace, I no longer read the Bible to prove something. I don't read it to earn points. I don't say, Lord, hey, did a whole chapter this morning, Lord. I don't. That's not my point.
And as you said, we're not trying to impress God because we are clothed in the one who has already impressed him.
Yes. So it sets us free.
It sets us free. So in Romans chapter 5, just read the first two verses there. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, it uses this word justified by faith. Can you just unpack that for us, please? Yeah.
Well, it's a legal word. It's, if you like, taken from the law courts. And it's what the judge has declared over a certain person. This person is not guilty. Mm. That is the assessment of the judge. It's the assessment of God. Yes. You are not guilty. So you are justified by the blood. The judge has said you're righteous. Mm. It's rather like in the Old Testament, the Passover. Mm-hmm. God says, I'm going to sweep through Egypt. I'm going to judge every household. The firstborn child at every home will die, but you are to take a lamb. Has to be a perfect lamb, no sickness or anything.
Yes.
And you kill the lamb, you put the blood over the door. Where I see the blood, I pass over you.
Yes.
And that's not for me to open the door and look at the blood and think, doesn't make me feel any better at all.
No.
It's not for me, it's outside the door when I see the blood. When God sees the blood, he is satisfied.
Yes.
It's because God knows the value of the blood of the lamb.
And it takes away that, because we struggle with self-centeredness. So using that analogy, and you explain this beautifully in the book, you talk about how, if I'm living in that times, I might say, well, I don't feel very good. Maybe my clothes are a bit shabby. I'm not dressed properly. But it's not about you.
Right.
It's about the lamb. So unpack that for us a little bit more again, please.
Well, I think when people came to the priest to receive forgiveness, they would bring a lamb.
Mm.
And offering the lamb to the priest, you didn't say, I do hope he doesn't notice this is all torn and I've got mud on here. We're not looking at you. We're looking at the lamb.
Yes.
All eyes are on the lamb.
Yes.
And so the priest would take the lamb. Is it got broken limbs?
Yes.
Is it blind? Is it diseased? And we're looking at the lamb.
Mm.
And he would say these words, I find no fault in him.
In him. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with my
lamb. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'm accepted. There's nothing wrong with my lamb. It's nothing to do with what I look like. And justification is a legal term. We are justified by his blood. Jesus has taken the guilt. Jesus has borne our sin. He died on a cross to remove our guilt. We're freed. That's what we need to understand.
And so God's answer to that sense of condemnation that we feel, that sense of accusation, you're not doing good enough, you could do better, you've fallen again, you've stumbled, you've messed up, is the beauty of justification, is what you're saying there.
Yeah, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, full stop. Yes.
And yet, when you hear that, it sounds outrageous.
Oh, it is. The gospel is outrageous. I was preaching once in Spain, and I remember this vividly because I was halfway through my sermon and preaching this, and a man who was dressed very formally in a suit, and all, I didn't know him, he stood and said, this is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, this is exciting. And I said to him, sir, if you'll wait till I've finished, I think you'll see where I'm going. But he was outraged by grace, and grace is outrageous.
Yes.
And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, if you're never accused of antinomianism, you're probably not preaching.
And so what's antinomianism?
Lawlessness.
Yes, because that's the scandal of grace, in a sense, because it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. You are never too bad for grace, and you're never too good for grace either.
Mm.
And in a sense, that's the big challenge, because what I'm trying to do is I say, okay, I need to bring my good works, as it were. But again, we're told our good works are like filthy rags.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I'm very quick then to say, well, I'm doing better than him. I'm doing better than her. And what that does, it then takes away the need for grace.
Mm.
Because we then start saying, well, I'm better than other people, or I'm so bad that God could never forgive me.
Mm.
But actually, no. It's taking the eyes off myself.
That's one of the places you may remember where the word justified comes, where it says the two people in the temple, and one of them says, I thank you, O God, that I haven't made me like a sinner. And the other one saying, oh, God, forgive me. And Jesus said, this one went away justified.
Yes.
The other one's praying to himself, is the phrase in the Bible.
Yes.
He's reflecting. He thinks he's praying, but he's talking and saying, hey, I'm a great guy. He's not really engaging with God, whereas the sinner is desperately engaging with God. Thank God, have mercy on me. Yeah. And Jesus, he went away justified.
And we talked about this a little bit, in the last podcast, this sense of that heavy cloud that comes down on you. And, I'm a recovering legalist, and you've shared how you're a recovering legalist as well, because we're trying to patch up a righteousness that ultimately is way beyond our pay grade. we can't do it.
Well, Paul said that the contemporaries said the trouble with the Jews is they're trying to establish a righteousness of their own based on law instead of accepting the righteousness that's been given them, which is a gift through faith.
Faith, through faith. Yeah. And so this is such a radical thing to grasp. I mean, we've talked about it, but when it comes to the day-to-day, when I wake up tomorrow morning, when I think, oh, have I got time to read my Bible? Have I got time to pray? Have I got time to do whatever good works, as it were? Am I able to do it, or have I got the courage to do it? And I fail, or I let God down, and I don't do it. The radical thing is, he doesn't love me any less.
Yeah, I think, sadly, some people have said, when you pray, start with confession, which is like, you know, clear the decks, get rid of the guilt when you first start praying. Just, it sounds like it's logical, but really it's a terrible mistake.
Well, explain to us that. Why is that a mistake?
What I mean, I think people say, well, I'm going to talk to God now, so I'll start with confessing my sin. Now, that the Bible doesn't say that.
No.
No, that's, but it sounds like it. Oh, that makes sense. Cleanse your sin first. But you forget. Jesus said to his apostles, they said, teach us to pray. Mm. He said, right, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yeah. Now, people say, no, don't start there. Start with, say, I'm so sorry for my sin.
Yeah.
So that's, Jesus said different. Yeah. So when we start with, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, we forget we've got an accuser.
Yeah.
So we say, Lord, I'm so sorry. And he'll say, and this as well. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about this as well. Mm-hmm. That's why people hate prayer, because they start with, oh, I'm such a sinner. And so you listen to Satan condemning you, and you kind of, God gets more and more remote, because I'm a terrible sinner.
Yes.
Now, but if you obey Jesus and come to God and say, Father, hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name. So when I pray in the morning, I start with that. Father, you're my Father.
Yes.
I love being your son. I celebrate being your son. And I sing a lot.
Yeah.
And when I come to God, I sit in this chair, as happens, and I just start singing and thanking him. Now, Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And if you go through the Lord's Prayer as a structure rather than saying it, you come to, and forgive us our trespasses.
You eventually get there.
Yeah. So you're not sin, you're not indifferent.
Yeah.
And so I will pray that every day. I will say, Lord, is there anything, have I offended you? And I'll pray that. But I start with, hallelujah, Father.
As you say that, Terry, what I'm reminded of as well is like a child who is secure with their earthly daddy or their earthly parents.
Yeah.
Just rushes straight in.
Yeah.
If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, okay, and the child needs something, say the child is a 3 or 4 year old, doesn't think, well, it's a bit late. Should I be disturbing mum and dad at this time? No.
Yeah.
They run in, and the parents, they don't say, oh, do you know what time it is? No. If they love their child, they're delighted to help.
So important to know that. I remember once I was praying, and actually I was just sitting reading, and one of my sons, when he was a little boy, he came running into the room, sat on my lap, put his arms around my neck and said, hello, darling dad. I mean, I've never forgotten it. And I sometimes when I'm praying, I sometimes come, I almost ask for permission, but I just, darling dad, I just remember what it was like for Simon. Yes. He just put his arm, hello, darling dad. It was totally confident in my love.
Yes.
And so I've that's where we're meant to be.
And
that is not outrageous.
And that's the joy of justification. In a sense, that's the joy of justification.
That's what we're meant to be. We're meant to enjoy sonship.
Yes. And it's not something you can earn. It's not something you can conjure up.
Right.
It's as you said, it's a legal term.
By faith.
And so it's what you're given. You know, David Turner, he's a High Court judge, and he talked, I remember he gave a sermon once and at All Souls, and he said about how he, you know, in the court, a person who was going to be convicted comes in, and they're told, no, actually, you're free. And the shock, the realisation, actually, no, I'm free. I don't have to, I'm not under condemnation.
Yeah.
You gave a beautiful example about the sergeant. Oh, I think you were able to go from Martin Lloyd-Jones about the sergeant. Just tell us that. It would be a good place to end, I think.
That's about being free from law. Right. Yeah. So that he says that, imagine a soldier who's done 2 or 3 years of national service and been used to you know, left, right, do whatever the sergeant says. And then there comes the day when you're discharged, because that's what it says, Romans 7, verse 6, you're discharged.
Okay.
And that's how he illustrates that word. You're out. You know, he said, imagine the soldier's walking across the parade ground. He's got no tie on, got his jacket over his shoulder. And the sergeant comes around the corner and says, soldier. He said, Sarge. And then you think, hey, I'm out of here. I don't belong anymore.
Yeah.
They say, bye, Sarge. And he said, it doesn't matter how much he shouts at you, he can't touch you. So no matter, you're discharged.
How much the accuser says, you haven't done this, you haven't done that.
Sure.
And so that is the wonderful joy of justification. And so it's grasping that that can totally transform somebody's
Absolutely.
Life. Terry, thank you so much for beginning. And we're going to carry on this conversation in the next podcast. We're going to move on to sanctification. We're going to explain what that is. But people listening, people watching, some of them may be struggling with this. Can you just pray for us? Can you pray for those who are listening and watching to help us to understand just how wonderful grace is and how wonderful it is to be justified through our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Just pray for us. Thank you.
Okay. Father, thank you so much that you justified us freely. Thank you, Jesus, you bore away our guilt as you hung naked on the cross and shouted, it's finished. We thank you, you did it. You accomplished it. You took away all our guilt. You cleansed our conscience. We're so deeply grateful to you, and we utterly depend on your obedience and blood, your mercy extended freely to us, your grace freely lavished. Lord, we thank you so much. I pray for everyone watching or listening to this podcast that, Lord, just open their eyes to the wonder of your kindness, I pray. Bring them into a place of rest and peace because of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.